You're listening to Marriage Minute with Pastors Richard and Donna Spears, impacting marriages that leave a lasting legacy.
Good morning.
Good morning. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Marriage Minute with Pastors Richard and Donna Spears.
It's great to see you again.
Good to see you, too.
Yeah.
We are so excited you guys are joining us because that means you want to learn more and to grow your marriage and to exemplify Christ within your marriage. So that makes us excited and happy. So if you are joining us just now, like and comment this broadcast and all of our broadcasts here at Revival Now and share it so we can get the word out.
Yeah, you know, the other thing that's on our heart about this ministry is we've seen in our own lives how we've applied the Word of God to our lives. You know, we've taken biblical counseling. And, you know, through years of application, not that we've arrived, we'll always continue to learn and to grow. But one of the things that we've seen is the legacy of our lives, of our marriage, has changed us. We've seen that impact in our own lives, but we've also seen the impact in our children's lives. And so one of the hearts behind this ministry is to leave a lasting legacy that you could be proud of. And that will impact generations. And so that's what we're starting to see.
That.
We see that in our own life. We see that in our children's lives. And we expect that kind of blessing to continue through the generations. And so...
And, you know, that came about because we trusted God with our marriage.
Right. We did.
We were really at rock bottom and looking for a way out. At least I was. Mm-hmm. And, you know... The only thing we had was God. The only thing we had was His Word. And we truly, truly have lived this out and walked this out in our marriage journey.
Yeah,
and we want the very same for each and every one of you. And, but it doesn't come easy. You know, you've got to die to pride. You have to die to self. You know, that scripture that you know, I must decrease so He must increase, so He can increase.
John 3:30.
You know, if you aren't willing to... humble yourself and swallow that pride and risk embarrassment and risk rejection and risk everything to allow God to reshape and remold and redeem your marriage, it's just not going to work.
Pride is such a... This isn't what we're talking
about.
It's
not. We just slid right into that.
This isn't the topic, but I think it's just good that we've kind of flow in the Spirit of God. But pride is such a dangerous thing. And God doesn't like pride. He opposes the proud, His Word says. And so, you know, if you've got this prideful attitude where you think you know better than God, you actually don't.
Yeah.
His Word also says that His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts
so true.
Are higher than our thoughts. And so
Amen.
Proverbs chapter 3, I think verses 5 and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding.
And in all your ways, acknowledge Him.
Acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. So
the two of us together, we'll get it.
Thank you for helping me get through that scripture. But anyway, so it's really about trusting God. It's putting your life and your marriage in His hands and believing that God can change a heart. He can change your heart. He can change your spouse's heart. So
we're an open book here at Marriage Minute. And we've always said that from the very beginning, and we want to help you. And if you have any questions or you just want to talk through something with us, there are ways you can connect with us. And would you tell them how that is?
Yeah, you can email us at marriageminute@revivalnow.com. That's an easy way just to email us. We'll see those. You could also message us through Revival Now, Dan Steep, through Messenger. So you could send us a message that way. We'll receive that as well. I'm trying to think of another way. Is there another way to do that? I think that's primarily
it. So
email, or you can just send a message through Messenger. We'll see that and do our best to respond. You can also respond in the comments. If you're watching and listening to us on our broadcast, you can do comments through Facebook and YouTube as well. So there's lots of opportunities.
So last week we talked about when you hurt me.
Oh, you know.
Did I take you off guard?
No. It's funny because I asked that question last week. I said, do I hurt you? And then you look at me later on and you say, yeah, all day.
You hurt me all day. Our grandson would say that.
Right.
So anyway, we have responses that typically we choose. There were five responses that we typically choose as human beings and that are really available to us when our spouse hurts us. So that's what we talked about last week. If you missed it, go back. It's about, I don't know, 35, 40 minutes long. Check it out, because I know one of those is going to resonate with you. But today we want to talk about reasons why we want to use redemptive behavior. That was one of the, that was choice number five last week. And why we want to use redemptive behavior. And in that sentence in and of itself, you and I would be like, yeah, I get it. You know, we don't need to go any further in conversation. But there are people out there, you know, if this is redundancy for you, great. Pass this broadcast along to someone who's just starting out in their marriage, or to a couple that's dating, or you know, someone that's just...
Or you may find something in this today, like, oh, I never thought about that.
Exactly.
So
this is for everybody. This is for everybody.
Yeah.
So what are our reasons? So there's two reasons, really, why we use redemptive behavior when we respond to our spouse. And then we're going to talk about the rules of redemptive behavior, because it's not just, you know, we've got to figure out how do we do this and how do we do it well.
That's the practical side of things.
The
word rules may come across as legalistic. We don't want it to be legalistic. It's not intended to be legalistic. But what these, we'll call them guidelines or rules, what they really are instructions from the Word of God. When we follow what God's Word says, there's blessing that comes out.
You know, and I think you're kind of trying to soften the blow a little bit. But for me, you need rules. People need laws. People need laws. And people need rules. Because if not, it's chaos. God is a God of order. He lays out rules and laws in His Word. And if you're going to be a Jesus follower, you're going to have to obey His rules or His and His laws, or it will not go well for you. It's biblical.
Yeah.
So I get what you're saying, but this is
thanks for correcting
this
me.
This is a well, I'm not correcting you. I'm just
teasing.
Think differently and look. I need those. I need the discipline from God. I need that
every
single day, because I can go astray. People can go astray so quickly. So
the reason why I said that.
You don't have to.
I'm going
to
say it.
All right.
The reason why I said it is because I know a lot of times people can view Christianity or things in it from a religious viewpoint. Like, okay, this is just a bunch of rules. It's not a bunch of rules you have to follow. It's really out of a heart, to your point, out of a heart of obedience. And when we actually have a love for God, and that we believe that God's way is the better and the right way, I'm going to see blessing out of that. So again, it's not about legalism. It is about order. You're absolutely right. It is. We do need these things. We need instructions. This is our instruction book for life. And so I just wanted to give you the perspective that God puts these things here because He loves us and He wants what's best for us. Mm-hmm. That's the reason behind it.
And I make no apologies for that. So we'll leave it right there.
Absolutely not.
So using redemptive behavior towards our spouse, why do we do that? Well, reason number one, it is Christ-like, like we're talking about, and we owe a debt of gratitude to God.
Yeah.
So if we want to walk in His ways, because His ways are perfect, no, we're not perfect. We will falter at times.
Yep, that happens.
We need to be and striving to be as Christ-like as possible. I should do it because Jesus did it for me. He used redemptive love,
right,
which is the highest form of love.
Yeah.
And it recognized that there's judgment that's due. I deserve judgment. I deserve punishment.
We all deserve judgment.
But instead, I got mercy. And that is just so deep and so thorough and so powerful.
Well, people need to dwell on that statement.
I know. It's like, I just want to sit here in that statement.
If you think about the fact that, you know, we deserve punishment, we deserve judgment for our sin, right? But God didn't do that.
No.
He sent His Son to save us all, even while we were still sinners. I'm getting ahead of ourselves a little bit, but...
Yeah,
that's an you know,
it's just big.
You hear people speak about amazing love. If you just take the time to think about what Donna just said, we deserve judgment, but what was released instead was mercy. That's amazing love. That is truly amazing.
So when we are in terms of dealing with our spouse and they hurt us, we have to remember we can never ever forget the redemptive love of Jesus Christ.
Never.
That got you and I, if you're a believer, where we are right now.
Yeah.
continually, day after day after day, day after day. Day.
His mercies and his grace are new every day.
So the first reason why we want to use redemptive love is it's Christ-like, and we want to be Christ-like. The second reason, it's the only method, it's the only response that's going to bring about a change and bring about a solution to the issue.
Right.
Amen.
Right. Amen. So that's number two.
Yep. This is the I jumped in on yours.
That's okay. This is the only method, as Donna said, to our spouse that creates a solution.
It's the only one.
It's the only one. There is no other solution. And I know, you know, it's contrary to our human nature.
Completely.
Completely contrary to our human
especially
nature.
Especially if you deal with anger.
Yeah. So, you know, the easy thing is you hurt me, I'm going to hurt you.
I'm going to get you back.
Because that's where my emotion gets stirred up, right? Or past hurts or, you know, trauma or what have you.
Get triggered.
I'm going to get triggered. I'm going to get stirred up. And the world says, no, they hurt me. I'm hurting them back.
You deserve to get him.
You deserve that.
You deserve to get her.
That's not what Christ is saying. That's what he teaches.
Can you imagine if that's what Jesus said to us?
Exactly. Back to the first reason, right?
Yeah. Oh, Lord. We owe it all to
this
him.
This is Jesus, right? We'll just paraphrase. This is Jesus. You spit on me. You ripped the beard from my face. You gave me 39 lashes, almost to the point of death. So you deserve death.
Yeah, you deserve the same.
That's really, in context.
I can't even get my head around that.
Can you, so again, Jesus is the model. We're not the model. No. We're imperfect human beings doing our best to follow in the footsteps of Christ, follow in the teachings of Christ. Christ Jesus is the model of the behavior that we're supposed to conduct toward any person for that matter, but most especially our spouse.
Amen. Amen.
Especially
your spouse.
Especially.
Guys, we did an episode, early on. It says, you know, I got your back, I think was the title of it. And we were talking about, you know, having you've got your best friend's back. You have your kids back. Why do you not have your spouse's back? Why do you treat your spouse worse than you treat any other person in your sphere of influence or it's your true. Friends and your family? So... Yeah.
So, you know, bottom line is threats don't bring a solution.
Never.
Rejection doesn't bring a solution.
Mm-hmm. We talked about all those last week.
Yeah. Revenge doesn't bring a solution. None of those things bring solutions. They only bring more problems, actually.
Yes, they do.
So they're
fueling the fire is what you're doing if you want to respond
you
that
are,
way.
You are. And
I've done it.
Yeah, I've done it too. You know, I've done it at times, even probably recently. But the only behavior that God will bless and stops this vicious cycle of rejection is redemptive behavior, is redemptive love.
Amen.
Jesus
is the Redeemer.
Jesus has shown us, and the Word teaches us, that redemptive love is the only solution to your marital struggles. When your spouse hurts you or when you're in difficult times.
That's right.
His approach to life and to marriage is the only way to bring about a solution in your life.
Yeah, so we have a scripture we want to share with you in 1 Peter 2, 21-23. You're going to read that, I believe.
1 Peter
This is Jesus' example as to how we need to operate with our spouse.
This is really good.
Yeah.
As soon as I find it.
It's okay. Take your time.
Okay. I'm going to read this from the Amplified Version because it really brings out the context of what Christ is our example.
Amen.
So here we go. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 21 through 23. So, for as a believer, you have been called for this purpose, since Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example, that you may follow in his footsteps. He committed no sin, nor was deceit ever found in his mouth. Verse 23. While being reviled and insulted, he did not revile or insult in return while suffering. He made no threats of vengeance, but kept entrusting himself to him, God is who he's referring to, his Father, who judges fairly. God's the only one that can judge
mm-hmm.
fairly.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
I don't want to be in God's shoes to make judgment. No. I couldn't, not mm-mm. fairly.
Yeah.
God's the only one that can do that. So that's a very powerful scripture.
It is. So that scripture and many others in the Word of God is our example. Jesus is our example. We have to become like Jesus, as Christ-like as we can. That is our journey in this life. If you focus on becoming more like Jesus every single day, it would be incredible what your life would look like.
Yeah. If you're gonna respond like what you see happening on social media, all the influence of social media, not all those people in social media, these influencers out there, are going to respond in a Christ-like mm-hmm. manner. But if you're following, I don't know, I don't really follow them, but mm-hmm. I hear the name Kardashians all the time. But if you're going to follow what the Kardashians do and how they respond, or maybe your favorite singer, musician, and they're not godly people, then you're not following the way of Christ. Yeah. You're following what the world is saying to do. And that's, I can assure you, that is not the right response to take.
It matters what you take in. So we mentioned last week in Luke 6:46, why do you call me Lord when you don't do what I say? Another huge statement. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of people out there want the persona of, I am a Christian, I am a Jesus follower, I am this, that, whatever. Well, that's pride anyway. And yet they don't do what the Word of God says.
Right.
And so they are living, mm-hmm. you know, a life of sin each and every day, and they're blinded by it.
Right.
You know, whether it's the pride or whatever is going on in their life.
Well, you know, I think about, I'm still in this entertainer thing. I see a lot of entertainers, and I'm not being judgmental. I'm using this as an example. You know, you see a lot of entertainers wearing a cross around their neck. They may not be a Christian. I don't know that. I'm just saying they may not be. And so a cross hanging around your neck doesn't constitute you mm-mm. as a Christian. Your behavior and
your
how
actions.
You do life and actions will represent, and how that lines up with the Word of God will dictate whether you're a Christian or not. Not something you hang around your neck.
That's right.
So I'm not saying I know that about every entertainer out there, every, you know, musician, every actor, actress. I don't know. But all I'm saying is that symbol alone doesn't make you a Christian.
Right. Amen. So
amen.
So we've shared two reasons why we want to use redemptive behavior towards mm-hmm. our spouse and anybody for that matter. But let's look at what are the rules mm-hmm. for using redemptive behavior? And this is really going to bring home what we're talking about and the why that you need to use redemptive behavior towards your spouse.
Of the reasons.
Yeah. So rule number one is what?
You cannot sin even if you've been sinned against.
Read that again.
You cannot
say it again.
Sin even if you've been sinned against.
If you're choking on what he's saying, you need to stop right there. And you need to get with God. Mm-hmm. And you need to allow God to work through this.
Work
it's a heart attitude. Mm-hmm. Work on your heart.
So 1 John 3:9 says this. So we're bringing the Word into it because we keep talking about the Word, right? So 1 John 3:9 says this. Those who have been born into God's family do not make a practice of sinning because God's life is in them.
Amen.
So they can't keep on sinning because they are children of God. So when you're a child of God, and to the point you made about Luke 6 from last week, Luke chapter 6, verse 46, if you don't do, why do you keep calling me mm-hmm. Lord if you don't want to do what I say?
Right.
Am I really Lord of your life?
Just don't.
So I'm not saying we're not going to make a mistake and not sin, but
absolutely.
But Donna, you know, this is something that she's so awesome at, and she lives by, and I could improve in my own life in this regard. But she goes, it's a daily repentance, asking God to forgive her of things that, one, he makes her known of, or things that she may not be aware of. Mm-hmm. So it's a daily dying. So when we do sin, it happens sometimes, and it's not always intentional.
You don't beat yourself up.
What this scripture is talking about is you knowingly know what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
When you've been made aware of the truth, which is what we're trying to give you today, when you've been made aware of what the truth is, and then you knowingly do against what God's Word says, then that's a habitual sin, okay? And this is what the Word speaks about. We're gonna mess up from time to time. We're gonna make mistakes, But daily we can repent of those sins and we can ask God to forgive us. And his word is true. Yep. 1 John 1:9.
Yep.
If we
confess our sins.
Thank you. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness.
All unrighteousness.
That's truth. So every day you can ask for that forgiveness. Amen. And live in a place of repentance and forgiveness with God.
Amen.
And it doesn't have to carry over.
That's good.
So Jesus died for us while we were still in our sin. Amazing. Mm. The world's response is this. I know what I did, but let me tell you what my spouse just did, or what my spouse just said.
Justification for bad behavior, for
justification.
Sinning.
Justification.
For sinning. Let's just call it what it is.
That's what it is. We're trying to justify sin. We're not allowing the word of God to be our guide and our truth. No, we're saying, no, I'm hurt. I'm going to respond the way I want to respond because I need my pound of flesh. I need my revenge. So I'm going to respond or I'm going to do something
That's really like a childlike, immature response, truly.
It is.
If you think about it.
It is. Yeah. Yeah. So this response only makes the situation worse.
A
it doesn't
lot worse.
Make it better. It only makes it worse.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that I've fallen into this trap. Mm-hmm. And really, you know, the devil is...
We all have.
He wants to deceive us. I'm not going to say the devil made me do it because I have choices that I make, right? The devil has no power over me. He doesn't have any power over you unless we give him power.
Amen.
Right? We have authority over the devil. And so
it's
only when we step outside of God's word and we do things contrary to that is when we're going to get ourselves in trouble in our marital relationships.
That's right.
So again, like you said, there's no justifying a sinful response. There is none. You can't justify it because your spouse hurt you.
Mm-hmm.
You can't. There's no way. So 1 Peter 3:9 says this. Let me look it up here. It'll be a little quicker. 1 Peter 3:9 says this. And never return evil for evil or insult for insult. Avoid scolding, berating, and any kind of abuse. But on the contrary, okay, this is contrary to the word, right? So to the world. So this is what the world would do, returning evil for evil, insult for insult, berating someone. It says, but on the contrary, give a blessing and pray for one another's well-being, contentment, and protection. For you have been called for this very purpose, that you may inherit a blessing from God.
Amen.
That's powerful. But that's contrary to what the world's response is and what the world's going to tell you to do.
So that rule number one was you cannot sin even if sinned against.
Yep.
Rule number two, I have to keep track of time here.
Yep.
You cannot use your mouth to seek revenge or produce results on your own except for righteous and loving speech.
Right.
Proverbs 18:21, the power of the life and death are in the power of the tongue. And it's so true.
Mm-hmm.
It is so true. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. What you say matters.
Mm-hmm.
What we see today, and people, even though on social media, let's just say,
right,
you're not saying something, you're not speaking something out through that, although you could in video, a lot of people like to use their tongue, if you will, in written form to tear people down and to hurt people. Especially on social media, because you don't really get, you're not face to face with someone and you don't have to deal with the consequences. Yeah, you might get some hate speech coming back in comments, but you can delete those, right?
Right.
So people are finding this, you know, courage, if you will, I call it cowardice, to tear people down on social media instead of lifting people up. And it's done intentionally, because I really feel like there are people on social media that are intentionally trying to set an agenda for how we are to behave or not behave or talk to people or not, or it's okay to do this and it's okay to say that. No, it's not.
Yeah.
It's really not. So people are using their mouths today to destroy others. Vulgar speech, hateful words, tearing others down. If we're going to be redeemers And I'm telling you, if you are mm-hmm. a Jesus follower, you are a redeemer.
Yeah.
You have Jesus living on the inside of you. You are a redeemer.
Amen.
So right now say, I am a redeemer.
I am
a redeemer.
Redeemer.
So if you are a redeemer, yeah. which I have just called you to be a redeemer, mm-hmm. as Jesus does, it means that what comes out of our mouths have to change. No more negative speech. No more complaining all the time. No more tearing people down. Think about what you say mm-hmm. before it comes out of your mouth. Is this going to hurt someone or is this going to help someone? Is this going to tear someone down or is it going to lift someone up? When we redeem, we speak life and destiny into that person
right.
who's not acting like it or really deserving it. Well, I would say that would be all of us
yeah.
when Christ died for us. Amen?
Exactly.
So we're speaking what mm-hmm. isn't into existence, right? We're speaking what is not as if it were.
As if it were. Absolutely.
That, my friends.
Same thing that came from the story about Abraham in the Bible, right?
That is redemptive love. Mm-hmm. So rule number two,
yep.
you cannot use your mouth to seek revenge, to hurt people, to tear people down, because that... Not only is that not redemptive love, it grieves the Holy Spirit. It grieves the Father in heaven. It grieves Jesus. It grieves the heart of God. And so listen, you know, I don't care if you're writing something nasty, erase it. I don't care if you want to say something nasty to somebody because you just feel they need their comeuppance. That's not your call. That's God's call. He's the only judge here forevermore. And so that is what rule number two is.
He's the only righteous judge.
Amen.
Amen. So the third rule... that we have, that God is giving us instruction about, again, to bless our marriages, you have to trust God for the results.
Yeah, that's
as you put your faith in Him. Mm-hmm. So it's like not what I do and how I handle it,
mm-hmm.
but what can God do when I give this situation, I give my spouse over to the hurt that took place in my life. What can God do to a heart?
That is huge. You said the word trust.
Trust.
That is a very scary place to be in, mm-hmm. but it is the the specific exact spot we need to be in,
mm-hmm.
trusting God for the outcome.
Because when we do, we can relax.
Well,
and because now I can relax in God. My peace is in God.
Amen. There it is.
And,
it's peace.
Yep. And then my behavior will reflect the peace of God.
Yes.
My behavior won't reflect my agitation or my bitterness, my anger to want to respond in kind to mm-hmm. what took place
right.
or what happened to me.
Right.
No, I'm going to trust God for the outcome. And when I do... Peace comes.
Amen.
Because I know He's going to settle the issue. Because why? Because He judges fairly.
Amen.
He judges rightly. He judges justly. He's the only one that can. Let Him bring it about. The battle is the Lord's.
Mm-hmm.
It says in the Old Testament.
Vengeance is the Lord's.
I'm not remembering the book right now, but it's in the Old Testament where it talks about the battle is the Lord's, and it is His, if we'll let Him have it. Amen. He can change your heart. He can change your heart. So marriage problems test your faith. Let me read to you 1 Peter 3:1. It says, in the same way, you wives must accept the authority of your husbands. Okay, this is not the context, but just go with me here for a moment. Then, even if some refuse to obey the good news, your godly lives will speak to them without any words.
Amen.
They will be won over by observing your pure and reverent life. So again, it's speaking to wives here to respect their husband. They're addressing an issue, but the context can
really
still,
talking about a heart attitude.
It's for a believer too, right?
Amen.
The way I conduct my life as a man also can have an impact on another human being. Can have an impact upon my wife. So it's not just wives are supposed to submit to their husbands, respect their husbands, and then whatever. No,
it's
for believers,
yeah.
okay?
Yeah.
Yes, it's applicable to wives, certainly. But marriage problems test your faith in God. That's a reality.
Mm-hmm.
So when you have marital trouble, and we talked about this last week, sometimes we all suffer. Suffer doesn't mean, you know, it's abuse. What it means is that suffering is we're living with an imperfect person.
Right.
And so it's going to test our faith in God, but we have to stand on God's word and believe and trust in Him that He's going to make things right and come about in a right time. So redemptive behavior means what? It means God is my focus.
Amen.
My spouse isn't my focus. The situation that happened, the argument, the disagreement isn't my focus. God is my focus. I'm going to cast my cares upon Him. That's what I'm going to do. I'm partnering with God to lift up my spouse.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm going to do. I'm partnering with God. I'm putting my faith and trust in God.
Amen.
As my partner to bring about the change in my heart and bring about the change in my spouse's heart to redeem.
Amen.
Right? We're redeemers.
Amen.
We're not people who are supposed to reject. We're not supposed to be vicious. We're not supposed to have revenge. We're supposed to trust God to bring about change in me and in my spouse's life. So what is it saying? I'm saying I'm all in.
That's awesome.
I'm all in. I'm not going to take matters in my own hand. I'm going to trust God. I'm going to believe in Him. I'm all in on God's solution and God's answer. He's mm-hmm. going to bring about the thing that needs to happen.
Amen.
in my life. I'm not going to turn my heart away from my spouse. I'm going to stay engaged. Ultimately, when I do this, the relationship gets stronger.
Oh, yeah.
And then
it has to.
And if we keep operating in this fashion, our response to our spouse, regardless of the challenge or difficulty, is always going to be like this because we're training ourselves.
Yes.
We're training ourselves on how we should respond because the training and the instruction is coming from the Word of God through Holy Spirit teaching us and mm-hmm. helping us to understand the Word and how to apply it in our life and in our circumstances.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. So bringing this home, rule number 4, if you'd look up Romans 5:8.
I will.
NLT. Yeah. You have to be willing to do the right thing for someone who's doing you wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be willing to do the right thing for someone who is doing you wrong. That's tough.
Yeah.
So Romans 5:8 says,
but God showed His great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners.
While we were still in our sin.
That's redemptive love.
So you have to meet your spouse's need,
mm-hmm.
even when they're not meeting yours.
Right.
This isn't a tit for tat. It's not a, mm-mm. like you said earlier, yes, I responded that way, but did you hear what she did? Did you
right.
hear what he said?
Exactly.
You have to pursue your spouse, mm-hmm. even when they're ignoring you. So you're not meeting my needs. What am I going to do? I'm going to meet your needs.
Yeah.
And instinctively, I'm going to do that, even regardless of your behavior.
Yep.
You're being sarcastic. I'm going to bless you.
Yep.
You want to be sarcastic? I'm just going to pour out blessings over you and love on you. You're ignoring me. I'm going to pursue you.
Yeah. And what you just said, those three things, I know even for us at times, it's hard. We're not saying this is easy, but you have to train yourself up in how you're going to respond. And what you're saying is training yourself up in how you need to respond in real circumstances.
Mm-hmm. And truly, the practical part of that in walking that out, I could feel angry inside, but I'm not going to treat him that way. I'm not going to lash out and treat him the way that I want to in my flesh because God is bigger in me.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not saying that this is easy, and we're not saying that you're not going to have things going on inside that you've got to have some control over the emotions. Just because you're feeling a certain way doesn't mean that it has to bubble out into sin. So when we have these, if I'm ignoring him, he's going to pursue me instead of trying to stay away from me because he doesn't want to poke the bear, if you will.
Right.
He's going to pursue me
right.
in a godly way, in a loving way, in a tender way, in a nurturing way, in the ways that he knows in love languages. So we've talked about that. So
here's what I was just getting when you were sharing. So someone out there might be saying, well, it's hard. How can I even do this? Well, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, one thing is there's something in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 that says this. Now I've lost it. It's the
fruit of the Spirit.
Yeah. So the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control. And it says against such things there is no law. So the point of that is this. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, what's been deposited on the inside of you is the Spirit of God. Holy Spirit's living on the inside of you, right? So the fruit of that is self-control.
Mm-hmm.
You might say, no, I can't control myself. Yet, actually, you can. When you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you have to yield to the Spirit of God that lies within you. You can't listen to what's going on in your head. That's where we
the
can
all get... The flesh will lie to
you. Yeah, that's where we all get tripped up. But if you listen to the Spirit in you, in your inner man, that still, small, whispering voice that says, that's not the right response. I need you to come back to my word and respond from that place. I know you were hurt. I know you may have some bitter feelings. Give those things to me. Let me handle it for you. I'll make it right. That's what God's mm-hmm. saying to us.
Amen.
You have self-control. I have self-control. I can choose those things mm-hmm. because
Amen.
I've been empowered by the Spirit of God living on the inside of me to do that. And you can do it as well.
Now, does it mean we'll never have to have a conversation about conflict or problem solving or, you know, no, if I've hurt him, we're going to talk about it. He's going to, after he has used redemptive behavior on me, mm-hmm. we're going to sit down and we're going to talk about why I said what I said or did what I did sure. and the hurt behind it. And we're going to get to a solution.
Yeah,
but the reaction good. And the knee-jerk reaction is not going to be of revenge or rejection or silence or whatever. We're going to redeem. So, mm-hmm.
so
when we
thing.
Do that.
So here's the thing. With everything that we've said today, the focus is on how big God is.
Amen.
That's where our focus is.
Amen.
It's not on me and what I can do to make me feel good about the situation
right.
now, to get my revenge, to get to reject whatever. No, I'm saying no, I'm not going to do those things. I'm focusing on how big my God
Amen.
Is because he's bigger. He's greater than every circumstance that I'll ever come into. And when I focus on a big God,
mm-hmm.
that means my heart can change because his peace will come into my life, into my heart,
Amen.
And he's going to help me through the difficult time. Like Donna said, it's not that we're not going to ever talk about the problem.
Mm-hmm.
We need to have a discussion
mm-hmm.
about it, but we're not. We're going to have self-control. And we're not going to allow our emotions to rule and reign here.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to allow the Word of God to rule and reign here and help him to settle us,
mm-hmm.
allow him to settle us so that we can actually engage in a healthy conversation later on about the hurt and why it happened so that I don't do that again or
exactly.
you don't do that again
exactly.
to me. That's ultimately what we're after. It's
so,
seeing God is bigger.
Yeah. So when we focus on God and he changes our heart, what that and my redemptive response to Richard,
mm-hmm.
it says, I'm here. I'm right here.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what you've done, no matter what you've said,
Amen.
I am right here. I am not going to leave you. I'm not turning my heart away from you. I am here.
Yeah.
I'm all in.
Yeah. It's like what we talked about last week when Jesus in the word said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you.
Amen.
Ever.
Amen.
And that's the same attitude we have to have toward our spouse.
Amen.
I think that was Hebrews chapter 13, verse yeah. 5, if I'm not mistaken. But that scripture is very powerful. And that's exactly what you just said. That's our response. I'm never going to leave you. I'm never going to forsake you, turn my heart away from you.
Amen.
I'm going to be here. We're going to work through the challenges, but God's going to be the one helping us do it.
Amen. So Amen. We hope you were blessed today. Like we said, Marriage Minute at revivalnow.com. If you have questions, comments,
yep.
we'd love to hear from you. Thanks for joining
love
us today. Love
have
you.
Have a great day.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening today. Catch all of our podcasts at revivalnow.com and send us your Marriage Minute questions at marriageminute@revivalnow.com.